America. I am Graham Allen, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. It's September the 11th, 18 years since the towers fell. Have we forgotten what it means to be Americans? We're going to tackle that hard and sensitive issue today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this special edition of the Dear America podcast.
Hey!
What's going on, guys?
Not much.
I'm sorry, Alyssa. I didn't mean to offend you and your sexuality or your gender.
Oh, man.
Have you guys seen the Now This video? Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what we're talking about, go on Twitter right now. Now This. There is a video with a lady basically saying.
Hey, you don't know that?
Excuse me. A person.
A
human person that says that, hey guys, is actually very offensive to women because what we're really doing is we're not identifying the women in the room when we do that.
I'm too tired to even pretty soon you're not going to be able to say anything.
The best part is.
I wonder how she would respond with, hey chick.
Hey,
chick. Hey,
what? Best part is she's like, we know that there are lots of other fights we could be addressing.
Yeah.
Like
abortion
rights. The Middle East and all this.
No, she didn't say Middle East. She said reproductive rights. So it's the stereotypical,
Just go the Southern way. Hey, y'all.
She said that's fine.
She said that's
perfect.
Fine.
We're the most inclusive people.
The Southern people? That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, they broke it down to how. Hey guys, even became a thing, right? And it's just, I don't know. Dear Lord, plastic straws, manhole covers is offensive.
Plastic straws, getting rid of those in California, LA is really working.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Get rid of the straws,
the
hand out the needles.
Yes.
Anyway, hashtag Dear America, is hey guys offensive to women?
I need to bleep that out when you say it.
You should. You should bleep it out and leave people confused. What is it? Oh my God, what is he saying?
He's saying
what
something
is
bad.
Hey, what? Hey, what?
I can't do a good beep. No, hey, beep.
Yeah, that was good.
Anyway, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dear America podcast. Alyssa is tired.
I'm sorry, I am.
We went to a concert last night. We went to Breaking Benjamin concert. I don't know if any of you are rock fans in the house.
I'm a huge fan.
We saw a bunch of you guys at the concert. You came out. You said hey to us. It was really cool.
Because it was awesome.
Everybody's there for the band, but then we got to take pictures with people, so it was cool.
He says we. It was just Graham. I took the pictures.
Jason, thank you so much for hooking us up with that.
Jason.
It was a true, true thing. I love Breaking Benjamin. I took Breaking Benjamin to Iraq with me both times. It was really cool. Me and Alyssa have been wanting to go to a Breaking Benjamin concert since we've been married, and I've just been putting it off. And so I figured, I knew 10 years ago that eventually I was going to be famous and we'd be able to do the cool thing
sure
and go backstage and
sure
all that stuff. So I was waiting strategically, babe. For you.
Sure.
Speaking of, we have some major announcements that I am horrible about doing this, ladies and gentlemen. I told you Monday that I would tell you the big announcements on Monday, and then I completely forgot. So here we go. Before we get on tangents and I forget again, here are the big announcements. First and foremost, this is it Sunday?
Sunday.
September 15th.
Yep. Sunday.
We have our first ever live filming Dear America podcast in Houston, Texas. Dan Crenshaw will be there. And there's even
Rubens.
Rumors that Dave Rubin, Rubin Report, will be there as well on
rumors.
The show.
And
so, so it's going to be a fun time. If you guys have already gotten your ticket, they're free. Over 1,500 people have.
That's great. Fantastic.
Alyssa's super pumped to be in front of that many people.
Honestly, I kind of forgotten about that.
Anyway.
But the tickets are for high school and college age.
Yeah,
people.
Well, that's first priority.
Gracious.
Yeah,
gracious
for sure. So, but what is college age really?
You're
in college, you could be 47 and in college.
But that's not the norm.
The point is, that's coming up. But also, we just booked 100% confirmed October 20th, Skillet will be on the Dear America podcast. John Cooper, the Skillet Crew, will be here, and I am super pumped about that.
I am too. I was a panhead as a teenager. I've followed them since they were in a skating rink.
You know, if you guys don't know who we're talking about, then I don't know how you're fans of this show, but most likely you do. And so October 20th, mark it down. Skillet will be on the show. Well, actually, it'll be the 21st when you hear it, because the 20th is on a Sunday. So you'll hear it October 21st. But if there's anything that you would like us to talk to Skillet about, submit your questions, hashtag Dear America, and let us know. We're super pumped about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, when we started
one.
Doing this podcast, we felt like it was going to do okay, but we never expected the response from... Oh! This week, the Florabama Shore guys from MTV are going to be here as well.
I forgot again.
Yes, some of the Florabama Shore guys are going to come in here, and we're going to have a really cool conversation about millennials in 2019.
I'm really excited.
Right? That'll be for next Monday's episode.
That will be for next Monday's episode as well. So if you have any question, ladies, don't lie. We all know that your guilty pleasures are Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise,
Florabama.
Jersey Shore, and Florabama Shore. Don't lie. That's why they're coming. I thought it would be really cool to have these young, I call them kids. They're not kids, but young
people
that are on a TV show that is known for just this craziness, right? To come in here and actually have some real conversations, not so much political, because MTV, they can't really get into that, but just, you know, just conversations about life and, you know, what it's like to be young in America in 2019 from famous people. Anyway, that's happening this week as well.
Yay.
Back to the point. We are so thankful for you guys. We never would have imagined that so many people in such the public eye would attach to this show like they have. And so we are starting to get into that where it's not just political people that we're bringing in anymore.
Right.
So we're super pumped about that. So thank you guys for making that happen.
Yep.
If you're listening right now, if you have not given us 5 stars, please do that, because that helps us in the rankings. And that matters because we pop up in things. And anyway, thank you guys for that. But before we get into the meat and potatoes,
if I may
be so bold.
I think you should be so bold.
Of
Southern y'all.
We have to get into our sponsor. All of us at the Dear America podcast believe in the Constitution and respect the Second Amendment. There are a lot of holster brands to choose from. Some are good, some not so good. But what does your holster say about you? Starting at just $37, We the People holsters are custom made right here in America. Their designs are updated monthly in-house, which means they do not use third-party molds. They even have their own 3D design team who measures every micromillimeter of their guns to ensure the perfect fit. Their unique and intuitive clip design allows for you to easily adjust both the cant and ride of your holster so that it will fit comfortably and securely at all times. Go to wethepeopleholsters.com/Graham and get yours today. Every holster ships free and comes with a lifetime guarantee, but that's not all. Enter the offer code Graham and receive an additional $10 off your order. Support your country, defend the Constitution, and support a great American business satisfaction guarantee. WeThePeopleHolsters.com/Graham, offer code Graham. All right, so getting into the reason that everyone is listening today. Today is the 18th anniversary of September the 11th.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, right?
Crazy.
It's crazy to think about that. In fact, I'm friends with this girl on Instagram. Her name's Hannah Barron. She's this hunter/noodler outdoors person. She's sponsored by Real Tree and all these other things. And she posted today, and this is not knocking her. This is just, wow, it's really been that long. She says, I don't remember very many things from kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Think about that. Yeah. I mean, kindergarten, man, there are people that are voting age today that do not remember 9/11. The only reason they know 9/11 is because they read about it in a book. You know, I mean, that's crazy to think about that.
Yeah.
And so I made a post on social media not even 2 hours ago. And I kind of wanted to talk about this. Well, actually, let's do something that, I think would be really cool. I kind of would like to talk about where we were really quick when that happened.
Yeah.
You know, I know that on the outside of things, it could seem like this is getting repetitive, right? This is the 18th year, but I think it's important.
Yeah,
no,
right?
It is important.
It's important to never forget about 9/11.
Well, it's important that we teach the generations just like our grandparents taught us.
Yeah.
My mom taught me, my dad, and then we keep handing that history
down. It's our Pearl Harbor, so to say. You know, like you know, the greatest generation. I mean, they all went Pearl Harbor.
Oh yeah,
they that live in infamy, right? That was their. Well, 9/11 is ours. And I mean, it's an unfortunate thing, but you know, I still, it's so crazy. There's certain points in life where people say they'll always remember where they were, right? Mm. JFK, Pearl Harbor, 9/11. So I do, man. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was a freshman in high school when 9/11 happened. I was in first period Mississippi studies. So we were learning about corn or something like that in Mississippi.
Farming, agriculture.
Elvis. I'm pretty sure.
Faith Hill.
God bless Elvis. Anyway, all right. I'm pretty sure we were learning about corn. And the way our high school was set up, and hashtag Dear America, let us know where you were. And I'm curious if anybody had similar experiences to me. So I was in high school, and every room had a TV in it. And we used to have this thing, God, I can't remember what the name of it was, but for homeroom every day, you know, we had homeroom before classes start, all the TVs would come on and it'd be like this news show for kids, for like high school kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm in first period and the principal comes over the intercom and I'll never forget his, young people. That's how he always said it.
Young people.
Young people. I'm going to halt education for the moment. Something has happened, and I really think that you should turn your TVs on right now. So we heard that. We're thinking, what in the world is Mr. Putnam talking about? That was his name, Mr. Putnam.
Principal Putnam.
Yeah, and but being in Mississippi, our TV didn't work in Mississippi Studies. So we had no clue what was going on. It wasn't until second period when I got into Coach Lee's biology class that the TV was on. And by that point, that's when the second plane hit. Like, I remember right when I walked into second period, bam, second plane hit. And I remember sitting in there, and it was during second period that the towers fell and went down. And Coach Lee, I didn't know this at the time because I was just a freshman. Coach Lee was a first sergeant in an MP National Guard unit. I didn't know anything about any of this stuff back then. So thinking back about that now, watching Coach Lee watch that, I mean, he knew, man. I mean, he knew that we were going to war, man. I mean, there was no way that it wasn't happening. It wasn't going to affect everyone's lives and all this stuff. We didn't do school the rest of the day. Yeah. I mean, the whole day we watched that. And I mean, even into the night. And I remember watching the first initial strikes, you know, the night vision things, and watching Bush come on and talk and all that stuff. What about you? What about you, Alyssa? Where were you?
So I was homeschooled during that time. So I was a freshman as well. And I remember waking up to my mama sobbing. And so I jumped out of bed thinking, you know, I didn't know, because that's not a normal occurrence in our house.
Right.
And then when we rushed
your mom,
in.
Your mom is a crier.
She is a crier. This was a different level, next level crier.
Yeah.
And so I'm running down the hallway and looking at her, looking at my sister who was already at Nita, and then just looking at the TV, and the first one had hit. And so we watched. Yeah, we sat and we watched the second. And
where
the
was your dad? Was he at work?
He was at work. Mm. So, of course, we were calling him and just trying to, yeah, like everybody, just super glued to the TV. Yeah, day, all night, praying. I remember us praying. I remember candlelight. I mean, I just remember West Point, our tiny town, just automatically everyone coming together and calling everybody. And what can we do? How can we help? Like instantly.
Right.
And just feeling helpless, though. Like you're just sitting there watching it, feeling so helpless.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we were.
Yeah. Jake?
I was in fifth grade.
Yeah, you're younger than we are. The baby of the table.
Yeah. And the teacher just turned the TV on, and we had no idea what was going on. The teachers were, like, running in and out of the room, so we were kind of like, what the crap's going on, you know? And I didn't really – none of us really knew what was going on.
Right.
And I got home and Just started hanging out in my bedroom, and my mom comes in the room crying and telling me what happened. And that's when I knew, like, okay, this wasn't just like an accident. Yep. You know, yeah. This was intentional. Mm-hmm. Yep. The fear in my mom's eyes really hit me and still does. That's like my biggest memory of the day.
Yeah. I remember feeling unsafe too. We were living next to an Air Force base, yeah. The main training
Air
Force base.
Oh, they locked everything down. Oh, man.
Sure. And it was the first time because, you know, there were other attempts. And so I remember just that day, that feeling of just, yeah. Is it over?
Well, mm-hmm. Columbus is the de facto pilot training base.
Yes, right.
And
right.
So everybody was thinking, oh, man, that's got to be one of the targets is take
Could
out
be.
The pilot training bases
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to share something that I've never shared with a whole lot of people, just very few people, Coach Lee's class. And this goes to show you how moments can change people, mm-hmm. right? And I'm going to get into the whole how 9/11 affected all of us in the end, because it did. It was truly one of those life-altering kind of events. Even the people that weren't there, life-altering. But a situation happened in second period with Coach Lee that I'm not proud of. You know, I was a 14-year-old kid. I'll never forget. I wasn't laughing at the situation.
Right.
But something happened right after the towers fell, and we were sitting there watching. And it was like a weird camera cut, like they were trying to cut to a camera, and somebody just made this really weird noise before the camera cut or something. And I remember a group of us in the back just being stupid kids, you know, we started giggling about it, like that noise. And I will never forget Coach Lee, he didn't come unglued on us or anything. He walked right over to us, and he looked me straight in the eye like a man, you know, like a straight-up man. And he said, "Do you realize what has happened?" Your silence lets me know that you know how tense it got really quick.
Yeah.
He said, "Do you realize that thousands," at the time they thought like tens of thousands of people, you know, had died. He said, "Do you realize how many people have just died? Do you have any clue what this means? Do you have," he even said, it was almost like prophesied it. He said, "We will be talking about this for forever. You know, mm-hmm. do you have any idea what has just happened?" And that still sticks with me to this day, because I do. I still did dumb stuff in high school, but I truly believe that that was one of those moments where it was like, wow, I need to grow up a little bit, you know, kind of thing.
I mean, you didn't know.
Well,
you know,
I was a 14-year-old kid, you know, but still, it was one of those moments where I sit here and I go, whoa, you know, he's right. Wow, that was really, really bad. You know, even if I meant it or not, that was really, really bad. But going back to what I was saying, and I want to get into my point of all this here in a minute, but 9/11 was one of those events. You know, hashtag Dear America, you know, please tell us your story. I would love to read it and hear about it. You know, what did 9/11 do to you, right? How did your life change from that moment? Because I know me. I was still just a freshman in high school, but I can truly say that if it wasn't for 9/11, we would all not be here today where we are, like in this building, filming this podcast, talking to America right now. I wouldn't be here because I had never even contemplated military service before until that. And I'll tell you the other thing that happened over the next 3 years of high school. I saw countless teachers. All these people were in the Guard. I had no idea, or in the reserves. Didn't know. Had no clue. They all left.
Yeah.
Literally. Pretty much all the coaches. All the coaches at the high school left. All of them gone. 18 months, whatnot, fighting in like the initial invasions and all this stuff. I mean, and being in Mississippi, we were really patriotic. Yeah. School, not that there aren't patriotic schools, but Mississippi is just known for being a little more.
And we also had a ton of military. I mean, I remember like half the town was just
gone. Mm-hmm. Ghost towns almost, because everybody took off. And it really just molded this sense of, you know, wow, you know, because when you're a kid, you think about the military, you think that they're like these otherworldly people almost, you know, like RoboCop and things like that. But during that time frame in high school, it kind of molded me to go, man, these people are just people like us.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got family and all this stuff. Todd, you know Todd. Todd was my recruiter. He's a good friend of me now. He deployed and came back, and then he got on a recruiting tour. I probably never would have joined the military if it wasn't for Todd. And that led me to, in fact, go to Iraq twice, you know, fighting in the war that I saw initiated that day in second period is when I saw it in freshman year. Who knows, babe? I mean, me and you may not be married if I hadn't joined the military and all that stuff.
Probably
I would not,
true.
I would not have had the swagger, so to say,
right,
to catch her attention at the time. And at the end of the day, who can deny pen palling somebody in Iraq?
It's
really
true. It was my patriotic duty to respond to his Facebook Messenger message.
But that's my point, right? I mean, if it hadn't have been for that day, who knows where I would be right now? You know, I have no clue. I know that day specifically and just without question set my entire life on a different path, you know? And so it's just crazy to me to think about that. I mean, do you guys have, I mean,
like you said, patriotic duty. That's kind of what I see, like everybody leaving town. That's that's the personal responsibility of freedom.
Yeah.
You know, like no country can have complete freedom and complete security at the same time.
Correct.
North Korea has a lot of security. They're pretty internally secure, but with no freedom.
No freedom.
And it's kind of similar to the gun debate. You know, they want to be so secure, they want to get rid of all guns, but at the expense of freedom.
Yeah.
So we're never going to have complete security. Like, they never want this to happen again. It's like, yeah, so we defend our families, defend our fellow citizens, the risk of our own life, so we can fight for the freedoms we do have, you know. We'll never have complete security, and we accept that, and that's why half the town left and went and fought, you know, overseas, because that's the personal responsibility for the freedoms we do have here.
Right. No, and I agree. And so what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about the fact I wrote something, and before I get into it, let's get into our next sponsor, and then I really want to dive into this. So here we go. TacPac is the premier monthly subscription box for military, tactical, and Second Amendment enthusiasts. For just $49.95 a month, they ship you at least $100 worth of gear from companies like 5.11, Hex Meg, Mission First Tactical, Armaspect, and America Grip, to name a few. They ship out AR-15 parts, everyday carry tools, knives, cleaning kits, and a mix of other tactical gear and apparel direct to you. Sign up today to get the October Tac Pack before they run out. This pack's value is $110 worth of gear from Armaspect, TacFire, and War Machine. Sling into fall season with this AR Builder's Dream Pack. And yes, sling is a hint. Go to TacPack.com, and when you use the promo code RANT at checkout, they'll ship you an ABKT folding knife absolutely free. So, if you're into tactical gear from the best companies for half the price, TacPack is for you. Go to TacPack.com and get the October pack today. TacPack.com, TacPack.com, offer code RANT. Okay, all right, so I'm getting a little raw for a minute. I'm going to read something that I wrote, okay? Because I really tried to put my thoughts down. A lot of you have probably seen the tweet that I put out, and basically I said the best way to honor the victims of 9/11 is for us to live like it's September 12th.
Yeah.
Because September 12th was a day where didn't matter what race you were, didn't matter what gender you were, didn't matter your politics or anything like that, we realized on that day that the only thing that matters is that we're Americans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it would be this powerful, just world-changing thing if we would just remember and live every day like it was September 12th. You know, America always, America forever. And so anyway, I wrote this, and I wrote it while looking at a photo that I took at the 9/11 memorial, okay? So there's a picture of me standing at the memorial, and I was just looking at it, and I wrote it. So this is what I said. And forgive me if it's grammatically not correct. I just kind of wrote it free thinking. So September 11th, 2001, as I stood before this hallowed place 18 years ago to the day when time stood still, when we as a nation watched the towers fall, watched the Pentagon burn, and the words, "Let's roll," showed a moment of true sacrifice aboard Flight 93 as real Americans prevented yet another hit on American soil. A day when we actually stood together as Americans in the face of despair. I can't help but think of where we are now. Hate groups running rampant, racial and political divide, calls for monument removals, calls for presidential assassination from elected officials. You have to ask yourself the question, where did we go wrong? What happened to us as a nation? In an age where we are more connected than ever before through technology, it seems we are further apart than we have ever been. So what are we going to do, America? It's true, there is never any room in America for bigotry or hate, but neither is division. The truth is, we are together or we're not. We are either all in on this idea that is America or we're not. I wonder what the people who witnessed that tragedy 18 years ago, who were united as one people and were simply Americans, would say to us now. Would they be proud of the steps we've taken since the day Americans stood together as one nation in the face of true opposition? Or would they not recognize who we are or what we've become? When I think about that day, I don't think about terror. I don't think about weakness. I don't see black and I don't see white. And I do not see politics of who is right and who is wrong. I think of a rallying cry for America and the awakening of what makes Americans truly great, each other. We are the problem, but we're also the answer. Think about that and never forget. Americans first and Americans always.
Yeah.
And so I wrote that thinking about that thing.
That's good.
And so it just, I don't know. I kind of wanted to open it up for discussion a little bit. And hashtag Dear America, let us know what you think. And I know this is a little different than how we normally do things, but, you know, it's September 11th. I think it's important to be reverent. Not everything should be a gimmick all the time. Yeah, we have a certain flow and a certain feel on this show, but I just believe this stuff to be important. And so I think it's a very valid question to ask ourselves. You know, we see how society is here. We literally just talked about, you can't even say guys anymore without people finding offense to things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You think about the people that were there. Think about the people that lost their lives. You think about the family members. You think about all the people that stood together as one 18 years ago. What happened? You know, would they be proud of us? I don't think so. I don't believe they would. I think if you went back in time on September 12th and said, 18 years from now, we are going to be more divided than we've ever been before.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that they would imagine that?
I don't know. I mean, we are pretty polarized right now, but what makes it tough is how the left hates America. They make death threats to the president. They're racist against white people because white people have white privilege and claim that the white people are. So it's like we can't just have civil discussions about, you know, policy or anything because the sides hate each other. You know, the right because they feel so hated from the left and because some of the things the left are doing, like drag queen story hours and the alphabet people and hating the president and hating America and. It makes it really tough to just be Americans. And, you know, I don't want to say that the left aren't not Americans, obviously, but when they hate the whole point, you know, they hate America, it's hard to have discussions with people who...
I think that you can legally be something and not morally be something. Legally, they're Americans.
Yeah.
Morally, I don't know.
And they claim to love America, but they want it a new America the way they want it.
Being an American is far more than a legality.
Yeah.
Right? Being an American is far more than, well, you were born here, so you're an American, or your parents were American, so you're legally an American. It's a mindset. It's a value system.
Yeah.
It is a belief and a moral standard that you live by and a love for the blessings that we have. And you have to ask yourself in 2019, the 18-year anniversary of September 11th, have we as Americans done right by the victims and the memory that they leave behind and created and further entrenched our belief in America? Or have we kind of turned our backs on what made America great? September 11th was a horrible day. September 12th is what makes America great.
Mm.
And you just have to ask yourself the question, in 2019, have we lost that?
I don't think we've lost it. And I don't think they would be proud or not proud of us necessarily, because they had their own separate issues going on back in 2001. It is a reminder, though, that we need to work on this polarization and not think, oh, just because you believe that you should take my guns away, you're a terrible person that needs to, you know. It's like we severely disagree with each other on this topic, but we're still Americans.
But why do we need tragedy to remind us that all this stuff at the end of the day that we're arguing over?
Good times create weak men.
I agree, but what I'm saying is it seems like the only time that we can get along, it's almost like a dysfunctional family,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. Families that never, ever, ever, ever talk. You've seen this movie 100 times.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah, and then there's a death in the family that brings them all together, and then they finally start talking again and all this other kind of stuff, right? It's the same scenario on a much larger and grander scale that is the entire population of America. But it just makes you sit here and wonder, why in the world do we need such horrible events to happen for us to pull together as a society? Doesn't that, in fact, show us that a lot of the things that were, not everything, you know, abortion rights or pro-life rights, I mean, those are very big issues. Gun rights. I mean, yes, there are things that we should metaphorically go to battle over to decide what's best for our society. But a vast majority of the things that we fight about, bicker about, argue about, the word owner for the, you know, the actual owner of a team and stuff like that, as opposed to racism, the word guys, whether or not transgender people can go into a girl's bathroom when they're not, you know, I mean, like just dumb stuff that we're truly divided over, man. Doesn't it prove that that's really just not that important anyway? When huge events, terrible events like that, just push it all to the side? I don't know.
Yeah.
For me, it's just thinking that.
It's a good thought.
We're not going to dwell on this forever. We've got other things to talk about. But one last thing I want to do is I want to take about 5 seconds of silence for the memory of the victims and the firefighters and first responders, the police, everyone that lost their lives on 9/11. 5 seconds of silence. All right. So, okay. Let's rev this thing back up a little bit. I have something funny to bring this back up. But before we do, let's get into our last sponsor.
Pew, 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 pew.
Self-defense is your God-given right, period. But it's your responsibility to practice, which is why I want you to go to your computer right now and get an iTarget Pro system. This is the first dry fire training system to combine smartphone technology with the industry's best laser bullet. Using your smartphone, their proprietary app tracks a laser bullet which fits your gun and will detect exactly where your shots are landing. iTarget Pro is completely safe, comes with your caliber specific laser bullet and target system. Right now, get 10% off plus free shipping with the offer code Graham. Train risk-free for 30 days. Return if not completely satisfied, but before you do, go to the range and experience the difference. Take it from me. Dry fire training will develop muscle memory, help with target reaction speed, sight alignment, trigger function, and more. Plus, you'll save a ton of money on ammo. Go to itargetpro.com. That's the letter I, targetpro.com, offer code Graham. All right, so touching back on a topic that we talked about, I don't know, 2 episodes ago, we talked about Monopoly for millennials, right?
Yes.
And then Alyssa, you said something. Do they have a monopoly for socialism?
So someone sent me a picture on direct message that they actually do. You can get it on Amazon, apparently.
Apparently, so, that's a real.
And I mean, we just went on and on about how funny that is. Like pass go, and you get like you know, you have to give someone else $500. Like
the directions are like, set it on fire and cook your food with it. Because you're poor.
Anyway, so I saw this from CNN yesterday. Monopoly has decided to take its fight to misogynistic viewpoints.
Good for them.
All right. Miss Monopoly will now be available. MS.Monopoly, by the way. All right.
She's not married.
Yeah, correct. Yes.
I know.
MISS is widowed.
What? No. MS is Miss. MRS is like married.
MS is Ms.
No. Really?
Yeah.
No. that there's MRS, which is married. There's MS, which is not married, and then MISS is like,
I don't think that's
like
right. No.
Widowed. Google it.
That's why they pronounce MS Ms.
Yeah, that's it's just a.
Well, I'm agreeing with you.
No, what I'm saying is those are the three.
On.
No, Google it right now. Y'all look at me like I'm stupid.
I'm believing you.
No, what does MISS stand for? All right, anyway, you looked at a. I'm pretty sure that that's their divorced or widowed or something. Because they're. It's a different association. Anyway, God almighty.
Well, that's a feminism thing, too, the Ms, because they don't want to be, I'm not a miss. Call me Ms.
Wow.
I think you're so wrong.
What does it say?
Widow is traditionally addressed as Mrs. still.
Yeah.
So you don't want them to feel like.
Well, then what is M-I-S-S?
It's just, it's M-I-S-M-S, abbreviated.
Excuse me, Ms.
Okay, well, I'm an idiot then. I could have sworn that one of them, fine.
Hey, we admit to being wrong.
Look, hey guys, this is real as it gets.
Mrs.
Okay?
For unmarried woman.
Yeah, so what is M-I-S-S?
It's, baby, it's the abbreviation, M-S. It's just, there's not three different ones.
All right, fine. Well, we got documentation in the back. Fine, I'm wrong. Maybe that's just some weird Mississippi folktale my grandparents told me.
I should be Mrs. Monopoly.
Who knew that my grandparents didn't know everything? All right, moving on. All right, back to what I was saying. So Miss Monopoly is in play. All right. But here's the part that's crazy to me. This whole thing about feminist and all this stuff is about equality, right? Like, that's what it's supposed to be. They want to be on the same level as men.
But a little bit higher.
Listen to the rules of Miss Monopoly. You ready?
I'm scared.
Unlike the classic game, women will collect 240 Monopoly bucks when they pass go, while the male players will collect the usual 200.
That's fair.
It's a fun new take on the game that creates a world where women have an advantage often enjoyed by men. I don't remember ever collecting more than $200 when I passed go. What the crap are you talking about, people?
The old wage gap myth.
How is it that you're fighting for equality when you're going to create games that give women more than you? I don't get it, man.
Man, can you imagine playing that game with like Gage?
Look it up.
Wait,
look it up.
Can you imagine playing that with Gage, Gunner, and Anna Grace, our three children, and then like Anna Grace passing and getting
that's
more money?
That's the ultimate
the
test, right there.
The kids would be like, "What?
You want to know if something don't make any freaking sense at all? Put it to the kid test, and if the kids go, wait just a dadgum minute, there ain't no way
the boys
that would
riot.
It's the cherry.
Gage would flip that board.
The cherry picking data. You know.
Since we're talking about that, I will not say her name, but someone wrote actually me and Graham in a similar situation.
So she said
she thought this would be a good talking point, and we'll bring it to light. So the Army's updating their PT test to the new Army Combat Fitness Test, and it's now gender neutral. So she said, well, I can't just skimp on by and get 300s on the female scale anymore. I can see why the Army changed it, but...
Hold on, before you read it all, let's bring readers that aren't in the military up to speed. Okay, so what she meant by that, just skip along and get a 300... The APFT is what we took when I was in, okay? And that is 2-minute sit-ups, 2-minute push-ups, 2-mile run, okay? They were different. They change it based on age and gender, right? So for the males, for example, an 18-year-old male has like 15 minutes and like 50 seconds to finish 2 miles, or they fail. That's like that's the slowest you can run it, buddy. That is the slowest. The females could run it what the oldest age male could pass it in at 18. So women were just like skipping it on in there. They had like almost 19 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time on running.
So this is obviously her opinion. I'm reading this verbatim. Okay. So she said, but let me tell you how crazy all these feminists that wanted gender equality for everything are. So the second they get it for a physical event, tears everywhere. I belong to an all-female officer Facebook group. Every day there is a nonstop bashing of the new test and how these women think it's the Army's way of kicking out women. They finally get what they've been wanting, but only now the equality factor isn't in their favor, so they feel targeted.
Yeah. I used to fight this battle all the time when I was an NCO, okay? I would get super mad because the Army puts a huge emphasis on the physical aspect of things. All right. They've done a lot better and made a lot of improvements of how they approve for promotions and all this other kind of stuff. But the old standard still applies. Who ran faster? You know what I mean? Yeah. Or who had the higher PT score. So I always would argue that if I was equal in every other aspect with a female NCO, but she whooped my butt on the PT test, it's because it was easier. Yeah, you know, it was easier. You have 5 more minutes to run the thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Give me 18 minutes to run it, and I guarantee it. You know, that was always this huge argument. And you know what they told us? Suck it up. Mm-hmm. Run faster. It's just the way it goes.
You know, there's a conspiracy that it's China and Russia influencing our social media for these tests. Like, they're lowering the test to weaken our military.
Probably.
So they're doing all this social media push.
But that's an interesting way to think about it. And I can say this as a woman, our bodies are built differently.
Yeah.
So to put it all together, I just think that's kind of silly.
Well, no, a lot of this started because you've got females going to Ranger school and stuff like that now. And you can't lower the standards for that kind of stuff.
But can you not, like, if they want to go that route, then they have to do that?
Well, maybe,
can you not have two separate?
The Army is never, has been, military in general, they don't ever make rules about exceptions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're like, okay, if we're going to start opening up combat MOSs to women, then we've got to come up with a new test that's gender neutral that puts everybody on a level where they can actually do this crap. Yeah. Right. And so that's the thing that's funny to me. So women have been fighting for forever.
They have.
Because they want to be, man, they want to be equal, man. They want the same opportunities. They want the same this, same that. But then now this is I'm assuming she's a female officer.
She is. Or she's in.
She's got to be in that Facebook group.
All female. Okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
this is her words. It's not ours. You know, she says that, you know, people are just up in arms about it. Because it's the Army's way of getting rid of women.
No, they have been fighting for that.
What have you been asking for the whole time?
Yeah.
It's like we talked about with Ross and them. Don't say you want to kick in the NFL, and then the second you get hit by some 280-pound linebacker,
cry about it.
Yeah.
No.
Or you're trying to save your comrades and throw them on your shoulder and drag another one.
Mm-hmm.
You better be a strong person to be able to do that.
If anything, standards need to be harder for women, and here's why. It's a lot harder for a 120-pound female to pull some 250-pound dude.
True.
Yeah, exactly.
A 250-pound dude can literally pick that woman up with one arm if got to. You know what I'm saying?
And it's going to make her more vulnerable, too, because she's taking a lot longer to pick these guys up and get them to safety.
To be clear, I've never been the guy that says that, I mean, are there still some jobs in the military that I don't think women can do? Yes, because there's certain biological differences as well. Like, you know, we used to go out in the field for weeks, never bathe, nothing. And then the females would actually have to, like, go in and shower and stuff and then come back, you know, kind of thing. Because you guys would get infections and all kinds of stuff, man.
Again, I'm sure there's rare exceptions, like a female could do it. But wait. But you said it's, you know, you have to be uniform and you can't just be like.
Yeah.
And so I agree because, you know, I don't think a lot of the roles women should do. That's just my opinion on some of these comments. MOSs, not the ones, you know, but the
I'm
big
ones. I'm not negating that there are women that can do it.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm saying.
I would feel like that would be the exception if you're not doing
exceptions. But you have to. Yeah, but you can't. I don't know.
Nobody ever said, even if you pass the test, no, we don't want women in here.
Yeah.
It's like, pass the test.
No, nobody said
in.
That. Yeah, you do the same crap the dudes can do.
Yeah.
Then
and
by
look,
God, you can come
that's
in here.
And if
quality.
You've been in the military, this debate is way before, like, even me. I mean, I remember when Graham first. You know, when I first met Graham, because he was already in the military, this was going on, and me and my friends were like,
passed up for a school because somebody has 10 points higher on their PT score, but they're on a completely different grading
scale. But they
finally
got it, because the girls, I remember, they have been fighting for this, so you got it, so stop crying about
and
it.
It's
there
them
it is.
Who are admitting to the fact that we're different, men are stronger. They're saying, hey, we need to lower this test so we can make
it
in.
Now it's not fair.
It's like, wait, so are you not as strong as men? Is that what you're saying?
Hashtag Dear America, let us know what you think. I say good for the Army, man. Make it gender neutral, makes it a little easier for the dudes, a little harder for the ladies, evens the playing field.
Careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for.
It weakens our military.
All right, I have a funny. You want to go funny?
Yeah.
And then I'll let Jake take it. So, okay, here's my funny criminal, because you know I love him so. A store employee says, basically, this woman came in on a Tuesday afternoon and shopped for a DVD. She approached the checkout counter, gave her number to the employee. This is the important part.
Nice.
To look up her account. The employee then says the woman put a note on the counter stating she had a gun. Report shows she demanded money with her hand inside her sweatshirt as if she had a weapon. And reports say the employee gave the woman an undisclosed amount of money and she fled the store. Cops obviously caught up to her very quickly because she had given her number to look up her account to the clerk before she robbed him.
Silly goose.
Was it a split minute decision? Like, what is the logic? Because she's going split to rent or split second. Sorry. Like, probably she's going to rob minute. It.
Yeah. Well,
then you wouldn't like rent your DVD.
That's like those
DVD.
People that wow. robbed the bank and called the Uber.
Oh, yeah. Those are my
to
favorite.
To go pick them up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Quickly now.
Dude, I love stupid people. I do.
Too.
They make my day. I love stupid
great.
People more than anything else.
Yeah. I got a funny.
Okay.
I do it.
New study says that napping could be good for your heart.
I knew it.
Of course.
Yes.
I'm not a napper.
I love naps. They're
I
my favorite
get headaches
thing.
And everything.
I'm not, I like.
You're missing out.
I am not a power napper. It will.
You'll be out.
It'll
yeah.
tick me
yeah.
off.
Yeah, me too.
If I'm laying down for a nap, mm-hmm. It's at least hour and a half. Yeah. Do not wake me up. If you wake me up, I'm worse than I was before I laid down.
That's true. Now, yeah, I will say, too. I think there's a part you can hashtag Dear America if you are a woman.
Hashtag Dear America. Let us know
well,
what
no,
you think.
I'm saying because I
got to be confident
I
with
think
it, babe.
Mamas can take those power naps. Like, I think it's almost trained because I used to not. And then after babies, I can take a 10-minute nap and I am, like, good. Like,
no.
Gone.
There's nothing
so?
That'll make me burn the house down
but you're
quicker.
A man.
You,
if I may call
men
you that.
Men like to hibernate, man. If we're if men lay down, we're laying down. You know what I mean?
No. Men and women are totally equal. There's no difference.
Yeah, there's no right. difference at all. No difference at all. No, I'm all for the nap game. What is it, Google, that lets their people take a nap? At Google?
There's a few companies we've met now that do that. Which
where is
love.
Our nap mat here? That's what I
no
want to know.
Kidding.
By
yeah.
God.
Got
I,
some couches upstairs.
And moving on.
Moving
speaking
on.
Of studies, because studies are just always, always wonderful.
And factual.
A new study shows too many young women are unable to find a suitable husband. Go figure.
Why are y'all targeting
no
women
kidding.
Today?
I'm just popped up on
maybe
the news.
The men
it's
need
in the
do,
news cycle.
Maybe doesn't, the men need to do a better job of courting these women.
Hey, maybe the men shouldn't feel like, you know.
Careful.
Yeah, they shouldn't have to be so careful. You had the right word.
Well, I saw,
wait
I
a minute,
saw
you twisted
another report.
That.
I saw another report.
That's what you men do.
Yeah.
I saw another report words. That said it's hard for women to find an adequate male partner
mm-hmm.
because males typically aren't as smart and don't make enough money.
That's true.
So basically, no, this was obviously done by somebody in like New York City or something like that. And they're basically like, yeah, a vast majority of women have a higher education than men. Which I want to kind of
actually, I could see that because men are probably like, well, if they're old school, at least like,
no, don't take this from me. Don't take this from me. Let me say this. Okay.
Oh, you thinking the same
now,
thing?
Now, disclaimer, I'm not saying this is the case for everyone. I know plenty of women that have done it all on their own. However, I know a far larger amount of men that have been working from day one since marriage,
providing for the family
while the spouse goes to school to finish their degree. So I think that is a complete garbage and honestly borderline insulting kind of thing because there are a lot of men that go work, you know, swing shift, 12-hour hard labor jobs every single day.
Yeah.
So their wives can go to school.
Disclaimer, that was me.
And get their education.
And I appreciate
well,
that.
Well, it's not just you. It's
I know, that
a
was
lot
us,
of
though.
People.
You did that
that's
for me.
That's some of the basis of the wage gap argument because they say, well, women don't make as much as men in this field or in this field when men make more in some. But women, in my opinion, it's in their genes to be caretakers and to stay home with the kids, right?
Ooh, you're not treading on dangerous water, Jake.
Not all of them do. And the ones that go out and get jobs, all the more power to them. But then that means the man has to stay home or your kid is raised by a babysitter his whole life, right? So it's trade-offs. Well, if you want to work, you know, that's just what's going to happen.
Well, also look at it like this. So you got a guy, let's say, I don't know, take a construction something, construction, you know, you're an architect or something like that, mm-hmm. okay? Well, you got a girl that goes to be an architect, all right? She gets her degree and all this stuff. She tries to go for an architect job, but then a dude beats her out. Well, the thing that they never talk about is that, yeah, he may have the same degree as you, but he also actually worked in construction for 10 years to get himself to that point.
Experience.
You know? Yeah, experience coupled with that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I think, and again, disclaimer on this. Ladies, I love you. And I know that you are capable of amazing things. And I know some of you didn't have no help from no man, and you did it all by yourself. And I think that you are awesome for it. I am talking about the vast majority of situations. I think that it is garbage when they say that men don't have a high enough education to marry somebody. Yeah. How pompous are you?
Well, and who are you polling, though? Because I know my circle would never. Hardworking and never you love your job.
You rather have have a dude that's got some piece of paper on the wall and is a douchebag, or you'd rather have dude that can barely add, but by God, he loves you and will take care of you.
But that goes back to in the beginning, like a lot of what you go for looks, you go for money, not that all of us, because, well, I did. Looks, not money. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out a word.
Lord knows I didn't go for looks.
No, I did.
By God.
I'm saying, but
it's more of a charity case at this point.
As you mature, though, you start to realize, you know, they fade. Yeah. Money goes. Who cares? Yeah. Are they going to treat you right and love you and respect you?
Yeah.
But yeah, in the beginning, a lot of
people
those
have to use a lot of that money to cover up
young
that black eye.
Girls.
Well, the other thing is, you know, women can't find a suitable mate because, like Micah said a couple weeks ago, dating is not. You know, people aren't dating right.
Yeah.
You know, they're sleeping together first night, first date, you know, second
night.
Well,
yeah, we have, what is it, Tinder? Is that wrong?
I would venture to say, ladies, this was going to sting. Ooh, I haven't said that in a while.
Ooh,
this one's going to sting.
We make a t-shirt out of it.
All right.
This one's going
to
sting.
I would venture to say that the ladies that say that their man has to make a certain amount of money, I would venture to say that they are in their 30s. They are single, and they ain't nowhere close to getting married. Because if you are a pompous, selfish, entitled, think that you're holier than now enough person, that you put a certain money figure on the right type of person that can be your partner for the rest of your life, you are an idiot, and you deserve to be by yourself.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's just the way it works. How dare you label somebody's potential of what they could be down the road based on their bank account number right now?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't all that. You could be 300 more pounds by the time this is all over with, and you're going to want somebody to stick with you based off what you look like now, but you're going to put a financial figure on some dude. Hypocrites.
Not financial figures, but you can say hardworking. Like,
he
go
ain't
for
smart
character.
Enough for you. He ain't got enough money. He ain't driving the right car. Sit there by yourself with your dog who has a Facebook account that you answer people for.
Yeah.
I'm done. Man, it irritates me, dude. These people that say this stuff are in their 30s. They're single. They ain't never been engaged or ain't never been married. They're at home with their dog or their
calm
cat.
Down. You're kind of generalizing now. That's probably not all of them.
The vast majority.
Okay.
Disclaimer.
All right.
Put a big long beep.
It's okay to have
I'm done. I'm getting off of it.
Okay,
I'm just saying, hashtag Dear America, let me know what you think.
That you like in some people, that's okay.
No,
you can have things you like.
Of course you can have things that you like, but to just, it's like.
We got it, babe. We're good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll move on.
Yeah, totally get it. Beto, you know, he wants all rights, every single right, except for gun rights.
Oh, God.
He said a short commute to work is a God-given.
Oh, I saw that.
How is he going
to
do this? Is he going
to private
jet you?
Wants to build houses next to businesses or condos or apartments so people don't have to commute very far.
Yeah, and you know what?
They
have that now.
Jobs.
And you know what? It costs so much money that no one can afford to live in those right next to work. So we got to move out to the county. So is he going to pay for all this?
What about a cup of coffee? Is that God-given right?
Oh,
or
it's
a beer after work?
It's a God-given right. For everyone to marry someone that makes at least six figures, drives a Beamer,
and have a cold beer waiting on them when they get home.
Have a cold beer waiting on them. But you know what? I'm going to get in trouble with Liz on this one. All this God-given right stuff that women want, it is their God-given right to find a man this, and that. Well, then where's the God-given right for the men? By God, our God-given right to come home and their dinner be made. Do you hear how the narrative changes all of a sudden?
That's right.
All of a sudden, everybody goes, wait just a damn
wait
minute.
Wait a second.
Now.
You get to pee standing up.
I don't
got a lot
I don't
of God-given
believe that.
Rights
just,
that we don't
just for the record, I don't believe that. I have never been that type of person.
No, we get to
I'll just grab.
Yes, you do. And
I'll
that is
grab
a privilege.
McDonald's on my
and
way
home. And you
should
home. Be thankful for
care.
That.
Have you ever
you
been into
you,
a? Have you ever been into a men's restroom?
Yeah, I have actually.
And then been into a women's.
The There's a reason
full,
why we
I
have to stand up.
I
there,
said it.
There is elevator music and couches in women's.
Yeah. Not all of them.
Most Jesus.
Of them. No, the women's restroom. Have you been in the women's? Is usually worse than the men's. We are
disgusting
creatures.
Y'all are disgusting, man. You think us men are?
Aren't we all?
You know, no, dude.
Equality.
Hashtag Dear America. Lady, real ladies, you know what I'm talking about.
It's bad.
The vast majority of ladies are gross.
In the
restrooms.
Gross.
And us, dude, yeah, we may get a little tinkle on the seat from time to time, but by God, we ain't leaving tampons and all that stuff strewn across the
thing.
You know what I don't understand? Is what's so hard about lifting the seat up when you're done?
When you're done.
Oh, my gosh. The only reason y'all have to put
spiraled.
It down is because we fall in it. That's the only reason you have to put it down.
I just want
to
bring
true.
It full circle really quick. We went from honoring 9/11 victims to the difference between male and female restrooms.
That's Dear America.
That's Dear America, guys. We're
getting close.
We're right on time. Wow, look at that. Right in an hour, Jake. Look at us.
Boom.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining this episode of the Dear America podcast. If you love this show, if you support this show, tell a friend, get them to subscribe, and give us 5 stars. It helps us in the ratings. We are almost at 4,000 star reviews in 3 months, which
exciting.
Is unheard of
that is.
In the podcast world. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for listening. Alyssa, where can they find you?
Alyssa Allen on Instagram.
Find me on Instagram at producer_Jake.
And of course, I'm Graham Allen. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Dear America podcast. And we'll see you again next time.
Bye.
See you.